tonight, or a series of teachings concerning our heritage of signs and wonders. Amen. And once again, Hebrews chapter 2, which has been our text. We looked at Hebrews chapter 2, we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 22, as a text to look in this direction. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 1, therefore we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that had it. And so we said that in the book of Hebrews is a book of contrasts, the book of comparisons. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 2, we see again the thought that started in chapter 1. And now the writer of Hebrews shows the distinct difference between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of angels. Now in chapter 2, his emphasis is on the difference in their ministries, not in personality, but also in the message. Okay, so notice he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, so we know the angels brought forth a message, okay, and whatever was spoken by them, it stood steadfast, okay, and it says that, and every transgression against what they said and disobedience received a just recompense, that means swift consequences came by refuting whatever the angels said. So that's a description of the law of Moses. That's a description of the law, because the law was instituted by Moses through the ministry of angels. Amen. We've already looked at that when we're looking at the subject of angels. So in making a distinction, verse 3 and 4 is important. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So he's saying that the consequences will be far worse if we neglect so great salvation. This is not spoken by angels now, but what was offered by God himself through Jesus Christ. So he says, imagine the consequence will be far greater if we neglect. The word neglect means to ignore, to put away from you, to push away from you. Okay. The salvation that was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had them. Verse 4. God also bearing them. Who is them? Who is them? I want to see if you're following. Who is them there in verse 4? Sorry? Is it the prophets? Is it the prophets? Are you sure it's the prophets? Look at, read verse 3 again. What does it say in verse 3? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which at first began spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had him? So, who is talking about? Those that had him. Okay, so, it says, God also bearing them. Who is them now? Those that had him. Beautiful. God was bearing them witness, both with what? Signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Amen. So here we said signs, the word sign in the Greek actually means what Greek word Simeon. It refers to an indicator, something that's meant to signify the presence of another or the substance or an unseen substance. A sign is an indicator. Okay, it calls your attention to something that may not be visible. So it says, God confirmed, bearing them witness. I said, the word also implies that the message that they preached was a witness. Then the Bible now says, in addition to the message, God specifically confirmed what they said with certain indicators. Notice these signs. Let me use the word. See, it says, with signs and wonders and what? Diverse miracles. The word miracle there, that's the word, dynamis, miracle working power, exertion of strength, exertion of mind, outward working power. That's where the word working and miracles comes from. So we see signs and wonders and miracles and diverse gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So we say that it's normal that the gospel is followed by signs and what? Wonders. We saw in Acts 2:22, when Peter stood up to preach about Jesus, he said that Jesus, a man that was approved of God among you with signs, wonders, and miracles, a mighty work which he did in the midst of you all. Amen. Amen. So if a sign is an indicator, it means signs are done to indicate or presence. It is God's way of attesting to his ability. So in line with the message, certain things followed the message. Now, if you've been here for a while, you notice that I tell you, we speak about the Father. Let me ask you, one of the reasons why it's important that we look at this one more time before we close the subject is because we have just run out of Holy Ghost meetings, isn't it? How many of us were blessed on Sunday? Okay, now, there is a temptation to assume that the meeting is over, signs are over. Mm-mm. We close the meeting, we didn't close the signs. But in our mind, we may close the signs. Now, another question I want you to ask yourself is this, which is very important, critical to our teaching, is the fact that, do you notice that whatever we did in January, we could have done in December? Because God doesn't exist in a time frame. We do. So who decided that we did meeting in January? We did. Who made those things happen? We did, using the power of God. So notice, when it comes to God's power in expression, it largely has to do with us. So let's put it this way. We had the mindset that in a particular month, we're going to have a particular kind of meeting. We prayed towards it and believed towards it and released the power into action because we were persuaded that we should have a meeting at that time. That persuasion led to the things we saw. If we have the same persuasion for next month or for the month after, we'll have the same results. Someone says why? Because God's power is at our disposal by reason of birth. I'm going to say that again. God's power is at our disposal by reason of birth. The concentration of that power has a lot to do with our persuasion and activity than God. Let me say it again. It is not God who decides in the month of June, I'm going to move mightily. Can God say that to us in prophecy? Yes. Why is he saying that to us? Because ultimately, whether we see that power in operation or not has to do with us. We see that all through scriptures. We see that all through scriptures. In other words, no matter what God wants to do, wherever man is concerned, there's a cooperation on man's side. There's a cooperation on man's side. So much more, as we go to the four Gospels, that is before the resurrection, before the cross. So we see miracles of equality. Post-resurrection, we also see miracles of the same quality. But the difference is that there was only one man doing miracles then. But after the resurrection, there were many people doing miracles to signify a change in how miracles are meant to be wrought. Miracles still come from God. The principles that undergird manifestation of miracles are the same. But the way those things work out has changed a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying to say? So it's important we realize that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians verse 5 and 4. Chapter 5 verse 4. See what it says. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of whom? Of whom? This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, in the name. The word in the name there means in the authority. Your gathering is in the authority of the Lord Jesus. Your gathering is in the light of what Christ has done. In other words, whenever we gather in the light of his resurrection. So every time we gather, the power that raised Christ from the dead is what caused that gathering. The church came into being through the resurrection of Jesus. So if there's any power at all, it is in the church. So when he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit, with what? The power. Did you see that? With the power. So every single time we gather, those factors are present. The name of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the saints are gathered. Don't forget that. Every single time. That wasn't the same before the cross. So because we proceeded from the resurrection of Jesus, our gathering is gathering of power. Why then, I would thought the word, why then were we giving the epistles to give us instructions on what to do with the power? Remember again in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14, that says that for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, which is in heaven and where? And on earth, is what? His name. Ephesians 3. Look at that verse 14. Okay? Verse 15. Look at verse 15 now. of whom the whole family were in heaven and at his name. And I've explained to us, in heaven and at doesn't mean some of us are in heaven, some of us are not. In heaven and at, the word and is an explanation of the first one. Of whom the whole family which is in heaven, that is on earth, is named. He's telling you that you are physically on earth, but spiritually you are where? That's what he's saying. Do you understand that so far? You understand that? So, because don't forget, he's already told them in verse 1 that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In chapter 2, rather, he told them that they are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, isn't it? He said that in chapter 1, he said that in chapter 2. So, in heaven and on earth is named, okay? That he will grant you, okay? Next verse. According to the riches of his word, glory to be strengthened with might by his one spirit in the inner man. What does that translate to? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That you being rooted and guarded in love may be one, able to compare with also what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ and past knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So the fullness of God is a reference to all the power of God accomplished when he raised Jesus from the dead. So the next verse now says, now unto him that is able to do. Whenever you see the word doing, it's talking about power to exact things, power to get things done. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can want. So we look at it this way. Your mind is yet to catch up fully with how much the power can accomplish. But it says with prayer, revelation will come. With much praying, revelation will come. So the prayer is not so much for power to come. It's for power that exists to be known in its ramification. It's for that power to also get to do something. Hallelujah. So notice, the power can do things. The power can do things. The power should do things. But there's something about the consciousness of the saints that gets the power to do things. Smith Wigglesworth spoke about when God told him to go to Wales. Okay, one of those places in England back in the early 1900s, and told him, I want you to go there to go raise Lazarus. When he got there, he found out there was a man there called Lazarus who worked in the coal mines. He was a preacher. He worked in the coal mines. He preached during at night. He worked in the coal mines in day. So after a while, he wore himself out, and I think he developed tuberculosis. In those days, there was no cure. Okay, so he wasted away. If you see anybody who has tuberculosis, you notice that they become very thin. In those days, they call it consumption. That's a terrible name. He literally consumes people's bodies until they are just bag of bone and skin. So he said, the man had gotten offended. He was a preacher. He got offended in his heart because of what happened to him. So in his mind, it's connected from God. So God said, I want you to go and raise him. So when he got to that place, the first thing he noticed was that he spoke to a few people and said that, well, I'm here to pray for your Lazarus. And God has told him to raise him. The first person talked to laughed at him. He said, let me take you to where he is. You take one look at him, you forget about raising him. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was that terrible. So he said, he went to go and look at the man. The man was just skin and bones, lying on the bed. The man he wants to raise is not even ready to be raised. As in, he's so far gone spiritually. He said, God has never sent me to a place and I failed. If he sent me, he wants to raise him up. He said, he went back to town and he said, I'm looking for at least 6 other brethren to make us 7. Oh, prayer. I want people that will offer believing prayer. You know, is there a way you take to certain places that can play believing prayer? I hope you know that. There are some people, the way they are looking at the situation, you know. There's no iota or faith in their heart that it will work. In fact, they are thinking, when you tell them of the situation, what they will say next to any other person who hears about you, you will know that you made a mistake. Even when you tell them, have you seen Sister Simbi? My God, what will her family do after she's dead? They've concluded that this one is going to die. You ask yourself, why did I even tell them in the first place? It was better if they didn't know. This ending, he prayed. And then next morning, they went together with those 6 brethren. Said, because he had prayed this, he knew what they were going to do. They surrounded the man's bed. Said, we're not going to pray. But he was going to lose the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They're touching that name. We're going to shout that name. He said, he shouted that name 3 times. The power of God came down on that man on the bed. Shook him and lifted him up. The power lifted. The man didn't receive it. They did second time. It happened again. The third time, the power came. He lifted again without man receiving. Then he spoke to the man. So what's the matter with you? He said, it's not for me. I can't take it. It's not for me. He said, no, repent in your heart. repent that you have done and acknowledge that God is here to you and is kind. And the man repented and acknowledged. And the fourth time they prayed that way, using the name, the power entered the man's body. Men can resist God's power. I hope you know that. Yeah, men can resist God's power. You know, having the Holy Ghost in the meeting, why we teach so much sometimes is because there are men who are actively resisting. You know, on the name of being formal, I mean conservative, who are actively resisting God's power. And it's strange. Okay, so by the third time, the power hit the man, raised the man back up, and the man was completely healed. Now, the power was there all along. God needed one man who will be conscious of the power, who will know his authority, who will use the power that is present in the church to go and exercise it. So he took those six men who represent the church of Jesus. Paul says, when you come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and my spirit with the power of Lord Jesus Christ, see, the power of God is what? Present. So one of the challenges we have while we pray for revelation is that whenever we gather together, we must never lose sight of the fact that resurrection power is gathered. It's so important that resurrection power is what? Scattered. If you have two or three believers praying in any place, much can be done. Much can be accomplished. We can change situations. We can reverse negative occurrences just by praying, just by trusting in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So the difference between before the cross and after is that power is now housed in the church. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And it's for signs and wonders. And remember, a sign is an indicator. So what God expects is, if you know God is present at all times, then you ought to expect the miraculous at all times. Dr. Oral Roberts was criticized in the 1960s because he had a slogan. And that slogan on the TV program was that a miracle is coming towards you every day. And preachers criticized him. They were angry. But he was saying the truth. He said, a miracle is coming towards you every day. What was he doing? He was building a consciousness in the people's hearts about the power of God. Why? It's a power that works better when you are conscious. You see, it's a power that works better when you are conscious of it than when you're not conscious. Look at Mark chapter 9. I want to show you something. Look at Jesus' ministry. Mark chapter 6, sorry. Look at Jesus' ministry. I'm going to read from, let me see now. Verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazing themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. As Jesus had disciples. Verse 53, he says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straight away did what? They what? What's that now for new? Recognized him, isn't it? Now remember, to recognize, to know him means the message got there. What was the message? Hold your hand there. Go to Acts 10 from verse 34 now. Acts 10 verse 34. Because Jesus was anointed with miracle working power, but the anointing wasn't enough. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is a respecter of persons. Yeah. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is what? Accepted with him, or he that works by faith. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Go back to that previous verse. Let me show you something again. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that what? Reverences God and worketh righteousness is what? Accepted. In that verse, Peter is talking about why Cornelius had the angelic visitation. But that he had the angelic visitation means he was accepted, or God wanted him to be saved. Was it enough? Look at the next verse now. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. So God anointed Jesus by the river Jordan, but in Jesus' anointing, he sent a word. So there was a power of God on Jesus. There was also a word that was sent after Jesus. I want to show you something about important, how God works. It says, the word which God sent unto you of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is the Lord of all. Next verse. The one I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from where? Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. In that singular verse, you notice that whenever the Bible speaks about baptism in the epistles, it's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about a doctrine, a teaching. He says the baptism which John preached. So John's baptism was a message. It was a teaching. Say amen. So the baptism which John what? Preach. So there was a message behind John's baptism. It was repentance until he that should come. Do you see that? So say that word, I say you know, it was published throughout Judea, began from Galilee, after the baptism of John. What was that word? Look at this verse. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of devil. For that was the message. The Bible says it was published in Galilee, began from Galilee, and throughout all Judea. So how did Jesus work miracles? The message was published. That means it was preached, it was proclaimed. Because men had to hear it. Men had to, by hearing it, have faith to receive from him. The message wasn't about Jesus being a savior. It was about Jesus being a healer and a miracle worker. Hallelujah. So that was the gospel there, or the good news there, was limited to Jesus as a healer and as a miracle worker. That's what they believed. That's what they expected. So in this Mark 9 here, they knew it means they recognized this is that person they spoke about. How does he operate? He went about doing good, healing all. Say all. Now notice, healing all means that the healing miracles took place irrespective of what those people had done. That's so important. Healing miracles took place irrespective of what they had done. Do you notice in Jesus' ministry that only twice do we have it recorded in the scriptures where we tell a man, go and sin no more, lest a worse sin or a worse situation befalls you? Have you noticed that? Do you think the other people he didn't tell that to did not sin? No. It means in those particular individuals, specifically, it was a particular sin that opened the door. All the other ones, it was just general sin. One of my general sin, just by being in this fallen world. How do you understand what you said? Do you understand what you said? Do you know some people can have an affliction because of a particular sin? It's not God judging them. It is a consequence of their... I hope you know that. Yeah. My pastor told me of a particular fellow, and I think Imam was a believer. You know, and he hadn't seen him for a while, and they met after a long while, and they were talking, and he noticed that the man's mouth was constantly moving like somebody chewing chewing gum. In fact, you hear the sound regularly. So he was just going, I'm like, bro, sir. When he started chewing chewing gum, I said, I'm not chewing chewing gum. I said, what is that? He said, that's how it is. That's how it is. He said, what happened? He said, I went into a prostitute one day, and when I came out, this is how I was. A demon came in. Yeah, a demon came in. He said, that's not the time to say, why would you do that? That's too late. That's not the time to say that. What do you do? You first cast the demon out. Which he did. You don't need to now say, don't go there again. Go. I mean, you say, don't go. You don't need to do that one. If you like, go. You understand? But I'm saying that in that kind of situation, it was what the man did that gave that thing room. Do you understand? Now, there are afflictions generally that don't have demons behind them. But there are some things that are demonically enforced. So that's why there are some cases where Jesus cast out the spirit with his word. And when he did, sicknesses left as cast out the disease. And there were some, it was just sickness that needed to be healed by touch. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, notice that when they had, what did they hear? He went about doing good, healing all. All means without exception. So their qualification for his healing was that they should be sick. And they should desire healing. That was the qualification. As stubborn as Israel was in the wilderness, they knew how to receive miracles. They did for 40 years. Every day. There's no figure, both in the old and the new, that worked miracles like Moses. None. Till today. It doesn't have a rival. Uncle Moses. Even the way he was buried was miraculous. Nobody knew his burial ground. Only God knew it. I think that's better than your own. But you're better than Moses in Christ Jesus. So Moses worked miracles with people that were stiff-necked and stubborn, and they received miracles every day. They didn't receive individual miracles, collective miracles, congregational miracles every day for 40 years. Everybody saw the cloud. Everybody saw the fire. Everybody saw manna. Everybody saw water coming from the rock. Everybody saw snake placed on a rod and they were healed. Everybody. Think about it. Why would God use that example to show you expecting miracles every day is nothing with God? He doesn't mind. You can't bankrupt him. It should just be your, what should it be? Your consciousness. Why will God send the message? Remember, God will confirm the message with what? Signs. So if he's going to confirm the message, he's already present to confirm the message. But the message is what makes men willing. So the message opens the heart of men. What is the message? Our God anointed Jesus. So the first thing men need to do is that he's anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did he go? He went about doing good. Then he was healing all. All means no exception. No question asked. You know, sometimes we put question mark where God doesn't put question mark. With the way things have been, will God hear me? No, there's nobody else who wants to hear aside from you. You overqualify. Hallelujah. See what it says again. Mark chapter 6. It says, verse 54, when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Look at what they did, the response. You know they must have heard something from their action. Look at the action. And they ran through that whole region. Who was running? Those who were not sick. But who had the same thing? They ran through that region, ran about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they had it was. Can you see that? Look at the next verse. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, if it were, that he might touch even the bottom of his garment. And as many as touched him were what? Made whole. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Did you see that? So notice that it was what they had. I think in Luke also, in Luke chapter 6 also. And Luke chapter 6 also. I want to believe that's Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 17. See what happened here again. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples and the great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to and to be of their. Now, if you came to hear and to be healed, what is likely to be contained in the message? What do you think message will contain? What do you think you want in? Something about the power is anointed with. They came to hear and to be healed. Verse 18. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to what? Touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and did what? How many? All. Did you see that? He healed them all. Everybody Jesus healed was a sinner. Everybody. In chapter 15 of Matthew, he called eating the children's bread. And when he said children here, he was referring to the sons of Abraham. In other words, as many as came towards him by faith, they received. Just because they were sons of Abraham, they received. He called it the children's bread. So they were receiving based on what they had had, which is by faith. So God, who is an invisible personality behind the walking, wants to call people's attention to the fact that he is present, and he does it by showing signs. Healing and working miracles is just one of several ways he does it. Hallelujah. Oh, question. Can I believe God for supernatural provision? Is it part of miracles? Oh, yes. It's part of miracles. The miracles Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4. Look at Luke chapter 4. Had to do with miracles of provision. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus showed us the condition. In Luke chapter 4, read from verse 23. You will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have had done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That's Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when great famine was upon throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You see that? And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, that's Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving what? Naaman the Syrian. Don't miss the point. Why did Jesus use this illustration? He just told you, a prophet is not without honor, save where? In his own country and among his own people. So what is Jesus teaching by calling attention to the widow of Zarephath and Naaman the Syrian? Is telling them the miracle that the woman, the widow, received isn't just for the widow. It's for anyone who honors the prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. How many of you have read that story before? The widow. You read it very well. When God spoke to 1 Kings 17, when God spoke to Elijah about the widow, what did God tell Elijah about the widow? Do you notice the Bible says that, for I have prepared a widow there to sustain thee? When Elijah got to the widow, her response, does it look like God has prepared her? How many of you know I'm talking about? What did God tell Elijah? I have prepared a widow there to what? When Elijah got, did he look at the widow? God prepared the widow. So what does that prepare the widow? What does it mean? Did she respond to Elijah? Did she respond or not? How did she respond? By faith. Do you know Elijah could have gone to any widow? And anyone who comes to him believing like that also, what will happen? It's a miracle. Jesus is calling attention to something. That it was an honor the woman accorded Elijah. That's what made it happen. It wasn't that God just decided this woman is the only one. No. He was saying that there were many lepers in Israel. But only the one that came, man from came from Syria. So the ones in Israel did not what? Honor. I hope you understand. He's saying honor plays a vital role when it comes to receiving. That's what he's just trying to say. That's what he's trying to say. That busts many bubbles. About us thinking that God just said that some people have miracles, some people will not have. No. Is anyone? Anyone that believes. Anyone that believes. Mark chapter 9. Look at the story of that man with the young boy. Mark chapter 9, verse 22. Verse 20. And they brought unto him, and when his friends said away, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wandered for me. Next verse. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, since he was a child, of a child. And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have what? And if only he knew who I was talking to. You're asking compassion, if compassion can do anything. No, you're asking compassion to have compassion. Can you see that? He was asking compassion to have compassion. That was compassion in the flesh. And was asking compassion, if you can do anything, have what? Compassion. And help us. Look at Jesus' response. If thou canst believe, all things are what? Possible to him that, say all things. Say all things. So all things will mean that believing automatically qualifies you. So he is now saying it is not God who sovereignly just decides, I am going to visit the Enaro family this weekend and give them a testimony that will shake the foundations. No, he said all things are possible. When he says all things are possible to him that believe in, let's put it this way, all things are possible to those who have heard. Because believing comes from what? Hearing. So the minute you hear, what you have heard is a hearing of possibilities. What you have heard is a record of unseen realities that is available for you to experience and to operate in. So the question is, how frequently do you hear? Because to build, to keep having miraculous experiences and interventions, there has to be a constant hearing. Let me put it this way. Do you notice that? How many of you ever hear news every day? You hear news every day. Let me say, you hear news every day. Okay, let me do it. Even if you don't hear it, they will send it to your phone. Have you? How many of you have Venue News? Is it Venue News? Venue. There's Venue, there's Oprah, there's how many now? Different ones. Oh yeah. That is, you don't even know when you subscribe for it. You just say, except you are not on. You don't have a phone that has, if you have Wi-Fi on your phone, they will send. You will get news, unsolicited news will come your way. So you are hearing news every day. Now imagine you deliberately hearing about God's working with her every day. What will be in your consciousness? Miracles. What will be in your consciousness? Healings. What will be in your consciousness? The power of God to deliver at all times. It will unconsciously enter your speech. So when Honorable said that, he says a miracle is coming towards you every day, only if you can see it. Let me prove to you miracles happen every day. How many of you know on the surface of this earth every day people get saved? How many can get saved without the power of God? So the power of God is working every day to get people saved. And getting a man saved is bigger than any other miracle. So think about it. If a man can be saved every day, it means a cripple can walk every day. Dead can be raised every day. Provisions can be supplied to you every day. Healings can be wrought in your life as in every single day. That's what it means. The power of God is working on that every day, in one time or the other. Somebody said something. He said, if there's no revival, you're not experiencing, you're praying for revival, change the church you are going. It's not that there's no revival, it is you are in the wrong place. If you're in the right place, power of God will be flowing there. You will know the place, power of God is here. But if you're saying that we don't know, we are praying for God to send us revival, you're in the wrong place. Because that means we are people, they are experiencing revival, power is flowing every day. So you are the one who is in the wrong place. So there's no power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So notice the hearing. If you can believe, all things are. So Jesus threw it back to the man. It's not about me if I can do anything. God's ability is there. It is about man permitting God to do things. But that consciousness of the miraculous. So what we're doing is that we're building a supernatural awareness that you ought to be aware of God's power at all times. It should be your present tense awareness. That your mind is constantly full. In fact, you are constantly expecting supernatural intervention in your affairs. There's a conscious way you think that way, that it affects your confession. And you know, whatever news you've had most recently is what shows up in your speech most of the time. So whatever you're feeling and you're hearing along this line automatically fills your mouth and comes to your attention. Hear people and are saying that going, money in these days of Buhari, something else has entered your mouth. Buhari will come and go, the power of God will remain forever. So I'm just telling you, and we slip into these errors. Instead of you to confess God's power, Psalm 44 verse 3 says, they didn't get the land by their sword, nor by their strength or their own harm. Said the harm of God is countenance because he had favor upon them. Psalm 44 verse 3. That's what he says. He said, because God had what? Favor upon them. Say, I have favor. I'm a child of favor. God's favor surrounds me on every side. I enjoy supernatural provisions. God's miracle working power preserves me all my days. No evil befalls me. Neither does any plea come near my dwelling place. 2020 is a year of supernatural possibilities for me. I experience miracles and divine favor every single day. I experience supernatural favor every single day. Abundance of provision comes towards me every single hour. Hallelujah. You are using your mouth to draw the power of God in your direction. You are using your mouth to release miracles in your direction. That's what you are doing. Now, you cannot possibly see that every day. Not even for 7 days and not experience power of God. It's not possible. Because once it becomes your present tense awareness and it fills your mouth, that's your confession, is your reality. As a reality. So if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. So it's not about if God can do anything. It's about when you align with God's power and believe. My down days are forever over. I'm on the hop up. Testimonies are mine every day. I experience God's favor. I'm distinguished wherever I go. I stand apart by the power of God. I stand preserved all my days. I experience divine assistance. I experience divine aid. I'm aided in all situations of life. I have that supernatural edge. I have that supernatural hedge in all our fears. I am never alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that's the world. I prevail in all my that, and I have the last say. I have the last laugh. Hallelujah. Yeah, you have the last laugh. What are you doing? You are declaring the consciousness. What he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say. But then you see the child of God saying nonsense. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say, the Lord himself is my helper. He's not just my help, he's my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing that man can do unto me. Hallelujah. There's nothing that man can do unto me. So it doesn't matter the change in prices. It doesn't matter the hike in any part of the economy. That scripture was spoken for any economy improved or crashed. The Lord is my helper. 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 I am never alone. I have supernatural assistance. I have divine aid. I have supernatural help. Christ is my wisdom. I always know what to do. I know how to go about affairs of life. His counsel is my counsel. His counsel abides in me. I'm led by the Spirit of God. He guides me in all affairs of life. He guides me with discretion. I have his wisdom, his prudence. I make the right decisions. I'm guided into abundance. I'm led into wealth. What are you doing? You are drawing God's power. That's what you're doing with your mouth. If you can believe, and if you can believe, you will say. If you say, you are actively drawing power. That's what you're doing. So for you to think you have the word of God to back up the fact that miracles can be your experience every day. No one outgrows miracles. No believer outgrows miracles. We will always need miracles. We will always need an attestation to the fact that we are risen with Christ Jesus. We will always need a way to demonstrate the authority we have over demons and principalities. We will always need it. That supernatural egg that is ours, we will always need to express it in a situation of life. There are times when you will need to be bold to stand against situations. To remind yourself, I'm no ordinary person. I'm indwelled by God. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead tabernacled within me now. The same power is at work in me now. The same power prevails for me now. The same power puts me over. You look at situations in the and tell them, I will have the last say. I'm having the last laugh. You are gone and I'm still here. Hallelujah. You have to get to that point when you can boldly say that, because you know what is at your back. You know what is backing you up. Say, I'm backed by the mighty God. I'm backed by the finger of God. I'm backed by the power of God. My kind never fails. Hallelujah. My kind never fails. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. I was hoping we'd get to John chapter 3, but then let's do Isaiah 54. Glory to God. I'm going to jump because of our time. I can't do from verse 1, otherwise we will not leave here today. It would have been good if we could start from verse 1. But we can't do from verse 1. Amen. You remember that Isaiah, just like every other parchment, Isaiah parchment, does not have chapters. Your Bible has chapters. So really, if you read it, chapter 54 goes into chapter 55. By the time you see him saying, oh, everyone that has said, come ye to the waters, is a continuation of the previous one. Okay, but because of our time, let's just jump all the way to verse 13. Glory, 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 glory. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Which children is talking about? The children of Zion. Okay, that prophecy has been fulfilled in Hebrews 8, when the Bible says that they shall not need to teach every man his neighbor. For all shall know me, saith the Lord. He's talking about the revelation of God's Spirit in our hearts. All shall know me. Since your children shall be taught of the Lord. And what? Great. Say great. If the peace is great, that's the peace that passes all understanding. Great shall be the peace of your children. Look at the next verse. In righteousness shall you be established. Now, because it says your children shall be taught of the Lord, if you read this now, knowing what is written in the epistles, when it says in righteousness, in whose righteousness is that? In whose righteousness is that? Whose righteousness do you have? So in his righteousness shall you be what? Established. You will be far. The word far means removed. there will be a huge distance between you and oppression. Oppression means being spoiled, being extorted, being harassed. It says you'll be far from those kind of experiences. It says, and for you will not what? Fear. Why? You are fitted, well fitted with that righteousness. That's what warfare is. You are established. You are fitted in righteousness. Okay? And you will be far from oppression, for you not fear. And from terror. That word terror is what? Destruction. For you shall know what? Come near thee. Do you see that? Verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall what? Forfeit. So he's now using personification. In English, that is what we call personification. When you take inanimate things and you make them personalities. Because this, surely they shall gather together. Who will gather? Oppression and terror and fear. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. So God is saying the real enemies are not physical. The real enemies are spiritual forces that come to the mind. And one of the ways they do that, they bring sin consciousness. They bring condemnation that makes you feel disqualified. See, but when you are so established in righteousness, your peace will be great. Because the righteousness that you will have is not the one you attain by your energy, it's the one that he obtained for you. And because his righteousness can be questioned, your peace is great. Are you with me tonight? Your peace is great. So say, great shall be the peace of your children. You'll be so established, you'll be far from oppression, you will not fear. And from terror, because it won't come near you. So even when those things gather, they are not coming from the one who has already justified you. No. Look at verse 17, which is one here. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is what? Formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Verse, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of who? Is of who? I'm eternally qualified for miracles. I'm eternally qualified for miracles. I don't check my actions. I don't check my conduct. I check his righteousness. I have a pass mark forever. Hallelujah. I have a pass mark forever. I'm established in righteousness. I'm far from oppression. I'm from terror. It does not come near me. I experience divine aid and divine assistance. I am mightily helped by God. My prayers are answered. Every single time I pray, my call for help is always responded to. I have divine aid and assistance at all times. I have no iota of doubt in my mind that the angels are working things out for my good. And the power of God is at work in my life. That the greater one in me is putting me over. I have victory continuously. I don't have victory occasionally. I have victory continuously. I am delivered from all affliction. I am set far above all situations. I enjoy victory on a daily basis. I experience liberty at all times. Nothing assails my righteousness. I stand in the light and no darkness is able to come near me. I walk in the miraculous every day. I experience God's healing power in my body. I experience his miracles in every area of my life. I experience his mighty hand that walking me mightily, producing supernatural results about me. I declare that this year 2020 of supernatural possibilities, I experience help in every area of life. I experience turnarounds in all areas in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We use our words to draw spiritual forces in that direction. When we speak like this, we annex angelic assistance. When we speak like this, we release divine assistance to aid us in all areas of life. We're never alone. We're not without. We have all the ability of God at work in us. The Bible says, exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Is he risen from the dead? That power has been wrought, and that power is in my direction. Hallelujah. I can't see the power, but I can feel the power. I can't see the power, but I can experience the power. I can't see the power, but I can enjoy the power. I enjoy God's power like never before in 2020, in deliverances, in liberties, in supernatural freedom, in provisions, in abundance, in divine favor. I enjoy God's power in all areas of life. I have testimonies every single week, every single day, every single month, all through this year. 2020 is a supernatural year for me. Hallelujah. While some people are looking for the secret place, you are flowing out of the secret place. Glory to God. Time is restored on my behalf. Time is restored on my behalf. Every lost opportunity is restored to me. This is my season. My father's ability. And yes, it's my father. The maker of the heavens and the heart. I call him father. He calls me son. He is my very own. I am his very own. He is my beloved. I am his beloved. His ability is at my disposal. I enjoy his power like never before. Nothing is lacking unto me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Nothing is lacking unto me. I'm never stranded. I can't be helpless. I can't do without. I'm surrounded at all times. I have it at all times. I'm mightily assisted. Hallelujah. I am mightily assisted at all times. I have all the help I could possibly need. I'm a helper of men. I'm a blessing to my generation. I'm a savior among men. In the name of Jesus, I'm a custodian of divine power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is my reality. Paul asks the question, who then is sufficient for these things? And answer the 2 Corinthians 3. But our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the new testament. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm an able minister of the spirit. The spirit of God walks in me and flows out through me. Many people are healed through my ministry this year. Many lives are saved through my ministry this year. Many lives are touched by the power of God through me this year. This is my year. This is my year. Christ is seen in me. Christ is seen in me. Christ is seen in me. Christ is seen through me. This is my year. Christ is seen in me. Christ is seen through me. Hallelujah. I'm the answer to men's needs. I'm the answer to men's cries. I'm the answer to men's plea for assistance. I'm the answer to men's prayer. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Glory to God. I'm a signboard. I'm a sign to many men of God's existence. I'm a sign to many men that God is alive and well. I'm a sign before many men that the power of God is real and at work. I'm a sign to many men. My testimony speak loud of God's mighty ability flowing ceaselessly through me. I have all the help that I need. I have all the assistance I could ever ask for. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't just receive, I'm a distributor. The faculty of God is open within me. I'm a distributor of divine verities, of divine life. I carry that divine torch. You know what will happen to you if you wake up every day and you look at your hands? I'm pregnant with God. I'm pregnant with God. I'm pregnant with God. These hands heal the sick. These eyes heal the sick. This body heals the sick. The divine life flows through me. I carry divine torch. Wherever I go, Christ is magnified in my body. Christ is magnified in my body. Think about it. Then only for you to realize that though you have said so much, you have confessed so much, yet your confession is yet to match up fully to even the amount of power pregnant in you. We strive daily to match up to the ability that he has stored within us with our words. We're still falling far behind. Ahead of John G. Lake, he will stand before the mirror. And when you just hear those stories, sometimes you need to practice and see what made them do what they did. He said he will stand before the mirror and point to the person and say, God lives inside this man. And he's pointing himself, say, God lives inside this man. God looks out of this man's eyes. Because what we say, I'm a million times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And he was talking about, just from one scripture, greater is he that is in me than he. Because what from that verse kept saying that, I'm a million times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. John Lennon will say that, it flows through my fingers, through my eyes, through my feet, through my breath, through my nose, through my ears. The power of God flows out of me at all times. Hallelujah. What a consciousness. What a holy consciousness of the miraculous. Signs and wonders at the order of my day. I will not limit God's power in what he can do. Through me, the sick are healed. Through me, demons are cast out. The dead are raised. No sickness, no disease can stand before me. As Christ is in me, he lives big in me. His ability in me heals all sicknesses, cures all diseases, raises the dead, casts out every demon. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The shadow of Peter. Shadow. 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 Shadow healed the sick. And Peter told us, we that we have obtained like precious faith. Second Peter was said, I write to all those who have obtained like precious faith. Same spirit. Same workings, same power, same Lord, same salvation, same Savior, same greatness, same ability. And his shadow healed the sick. Because he allowed God. He just allowed God. I allow God this season. I allow God this season. My Father's ability flows through me ceaselessly. I go wherever he says to go. I do what he says to do. I see miracles every day. I look for the sick and they are healed. I look for demons and I cast them out. I experience miracles, supernatural aid. Men are amazed at my life. My life is supernatural. Possibilities are mine every single day. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible. I am a believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When a mission and amount around you concerning anything, I want you to just practice something. Instead of saying, first say, I believe. Just try and say, I believe. All things are possible. I believe. It's going to cost 5 billion. Don't say, I've never seen 500,000 before. Don't talk like that. Just say, I believe. I believe. All things are possible. God is not asking you to be shocked. He's asking you to believe. Do you say, even 1 million. No, don't talk like that. Say, I believe. And all things are possible to him that believe. Hallelujah. I believe. I just believe. And don't let anyone change your confession. And then I believe. I just believe. So they will come to you with certain things. And certain things you're hearing. Can you imagine Pastor Olu came to me and told me that you build your house this year. You are thinking me that I've never paid rent. And say, I believe, sir, I believe. Let it be unto me according to your word. Your own job is to believe, not to do. Your job is easier. Let God have the headache of thinking how it will be done. Your own is what believe. You are a believing one. You know, that's why when your calculations are too much, yes, voila. Too much calculation is disturbing you. What are you doing with that piece of paper? I'm trying to make ends meet. Ends never meet. They are ends. They never meet. They are not designed to meet. But the believing one has abundance. He has divine provision. I'm not trusting on natural means of qualification. I'm trusting divine ability. All things are mine. All things are mine. All that belongs to my Father belongs to me now. All things are mine. My Father is never in lack. I never lack. My Father never has shortage. I have abundance at all times. I lack no good thing. I lack no good thing. He has made all grace to abound towards me. I have sufficiency in every area. I abound unto every good work. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Well, lift your hands and thank him tonight. Lift your hands and thank him tonight. I trust you are sufficiently charged up tonight. We end this month well. We end this month well. Pastor, there are only 2 days left in this month. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. 24 hours, too much. 48 hours, too much. Too much, too much, too much, too much, too much, too much. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God to provide for me, to set me up, to make things work for me. I believe in the power of God. All things are possible. And I'm a believing one. And I believe. My testimony is full. My testimony is complete. It's not yet over. I believe God. I believe His power. I believe in miracles. And miracles are made manifest in my life, in my experience, on my behalf. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Hey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I look to the power of God. I look to the power of God. And I see answers. I see possibilities. No impossibilities. I see ceaseless answers. I see endless possibilities in the Word of God. That is my heritage. That's my inheritance. That's where I come from. That's where I live in. That's my reality. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Ordinary man, I have no ordinary experiences. The supernatural is the order of my existence. So the miraculous manifest in me every day. Miracles coming towards me, flowing through me, flowing from me. Everything about me is supernatural. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born out of the resurrection. I'm born of miracles. I live in miracles. I experience miracles. I walk in miracles every single day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you tonight. We are grateful for our heritage of signs and wonders. We affirm again and again. We are that special breed. We came out of spiritual death into spiritual life. We have crossed the bridge. We have passed from death to life. We're in life. All things are possible where we are. We thank you for the superlative things that take place from here on. Thank you for our consciousness is filled with your miracle working power. No weakness within us in any way. Healings, miracles, creative miracles wrought in every man and every woman, even from this day. For thank you for astounding testimonies of your mighty power. Remove all limits. Thank you. No more boundaries. Your word is our guide. Your word is our lamp and our light. And we experience all that you have prepared for us this season. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah.